I can have your attention here in the media center, we'll continue on with today's Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series media availabilities. We are joined by Joey Logano, driver of the number 22 Shell Pennzoil Ford for Team Penske. Joey, this has been a good track for you and a good season to start off. How much momentum do you feel like you have coming into this race weekend?
Yeah, it's been a nice start, especially kind of how last season went. It feels nice to see the front again and be able to lead some laps and have the chances to win. That's a nice feeling, and to be able to unload today and have some good speed in our race car, I think we have something good to qualify with. So, feeling good about it. Confidence levels growing throughout the whole race team again. I think that's a good thing. And, we keep this consistency up. That's something that's nice right now. We've been very consistent this year, and hopefully we can just keep that rolling and get a win this weekend.
Outstanding. We'll open the floor up for questions. If you have a question, please raise your hand. We'll get a wireless microphone to you. We'll start here with Lee, and then we'll go to Wolfgang.
And the points leader. That was a nice consolation prize, wasn't it?
That felt nice. it's only three races in, but it feels nice, yes.
Your teammate was lobbying about the Fords not being able to keep up with the Toyotas and the Chevys before the season started. It's clear you guys look pretty stout. Are you happy with the progress that Ford made in the off season?
Yeah, I am. The progress has been in the right direction. I think there's a few reasons on why that is. I think the Hawkeye system and all that has really kind of changed the game a lot for a lot of race teams, and I think it kind of brought us a little bit more into the playing field, which is great for us. And I think we made some good improvements over the offseason. I think we've been able to make our cars a little bit better. So I think there's a few things that kind of helped us get that way. I think you still see the other manufacturers are going to be good. And I'm sure Chevy's going to figure this thing out pretty quick as well. With the new body, we kind of seen Toyota do the same thing last year, is have a slow start. And then by the end, they were really, really fast. So we're hoping that doesn't happen, but so far it's been a great start for Team Penske and for all the Fords. Really have shown good speed.
We'll go to Wolfgang, to Bob, and then to Mike, and then to Reed.
Yeah, Joey, Team Penske started from last year two car, now to three car team. Do you think, or you feel, as maybe the more correct word, do you feel it's already a different way of operation, logistics? Or is it the same like the years before?
No, it's a big step, to add another race team. It's not easy, believe me. For me, my job doesn't change a whole bunch, but for the management of our race team, hiring the right people, figuring out how to get them all to the racetrack, all that stuff's just more, right? The way we set up share our data. Between the teams, you got to add more to that, and our team meetings, right? There's more people in them. How do we go through that stuff? It's a bunch of little things that you don't really think about until you get to the racetrack and realize, oh man, we got to do this now, or we got to do this now. And it's just the timing changes for things, and you just got to get used to it. It's not a bad thing. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying any of this is bad. It's just a challenge, and it's a good challenge for our race team, I think. So we've shown it's made us, I feel like, stronger already, and I think as we keep plowing forward with it, I think we'll be able to use it to our advantage even more.
Okay. We'll go to Bob, then to Mike, then to Reed, then to Greg.
Bob Hocker, ESPN. In light of Harvick's situation, there's been some discussion on the role of social media and kind of officiating the sport or contributing to officiating the sport. Is there any concern on your end that, that people can, that NASCAR can see what's on social media and have it potentially influence any decisions?
I mean, I don't think it really influences a decision. It probably makes things a little bit more vocal. As you guys know how social media is, I don't have to explain to you guys what it's about. Little things get blown into something really big. No matter what we're talking about, I'm not just talking about race cars, I'm talking about everything in life. But, I think it obviously stood out, right, on there, and then a lot of things were talked about afterwards. And it's no different than the 24 last year in Chicago, right? Something that was pointed out a lot, and then everyone keeps looking at their, pictures or their Twitter accounts or whatever it is and sees it. It's not something that, us as a race team, we're going to see it either way. It doesn't change us, and I wouldn't assume that NASCAR makes calls off of social media, and I wouldn't think that's the case. I would think NASCAR is bigger than that, and I think it just makes the story bigger when You see it all over social media. It's not like a secret penalty or something that's underneath the car and we're all trying to figure out what's that really do, and you can't really see it and you don't know what it does. And you know, when it's on the outside of a car, it's pretty blatantly obvious that something's different, right? You can see something's different. And I think that's where the common fan that watches NASCAR racing and you know, you don't understand the crazy things that the engineers understand underneath the car, it just makes it more obvious for everyone to see.
Going to Mike, Reed, Greg, then Chris.
Mike Embry, USA Today. Does the fact that the four car has led so many laps the past couple of weeks, looking at that from the Penske viewpoint, does that make you react, great, we know that's possible, or does it frustrate you that hasn't been one of you guys doing it?
Yep. You see, yeah, both, for sure. You know, it's if it wasn't for the four car the last couple of weeks, we'd say, man, we're the best car. You know, I'd say we're a second to fifth place car lately. And the four car has just been the best car. He's been the fastest the last couple of weeks. And, you know, like I said, we're three races in. You know, in Atlanta, we kind of chalked it up to Kevin being probably the best driver at Atlanta. And we thought, oh, it's Atlanta. He's typically faster. I get it. You know, Vegas is one of those things that we all thought, wow, maybe it wasn't just Atlanta. You know, and I think, you know, Phoenix has always been a good track for him as well. So it takes a few weeks to kind of realize where exactly you stand. I think we're in good shape so far. But yes, I do think that he's a solid step in front of everybody right now. Yeah, I think that team is.
Reed Spencer, NASCAR Wire Service. When you guys come back here in the fall, the track's going to be flipped. The restart zone's going to be in turn two, and the finish line in the dogleg. Have you thought about how that's going to change things here?
I've thought about it some, but you know, some of it you don't really know until you get there. And honestly, I'm focused on this weekend and what I have to do for restarts with the start-finish line where it's at. But it will change everything drastically. You know, just think about, you know, where the start finish line is supposed to be located, and thinking about when you get past that start finish line and it opens up, that's going to be pretty awesome. It's going to be crazy. It's going to open up more than any track we go to right now. So, you know, there'll be plenty of lanes to pick from. And it's all going to funnel down some into turn three and funnel down even more off of turn four, and then funnel one more time into turn one. So everyone's going to have to keep trying to find these holes to get back into, but there's so much opportunity when you cross that start finish line for pulling out. So I think there'll be some crazy moves there. There might be drivers that are a little too aggressive that may make the move too soon, which may cause a penalty. There may be drivers that are a little too aggressive into turn three and may slide up the racetrack, and that'll definitely change up the way that three and four works, because it's such a long sweeping corner that, you know, you can have one guy slide up, and the crossover move is pretty apparent there, that you can do a lot there with it. So I'm excited about it. I think it's a great change this track's making. You know, obviously with the, you know, we'll all get kind of suckered into the, you know, how the garage is going to be better and the grandstand is going to be better and all. And I agree, that's going to be great, and I'm glad they're doing that. But I think for the racing, I think that's another step that's probably hidden in this whole thing.
Greg?
Can you talk to me about your strategy now? Greg Moore, Arizona Republic. Good to meet you.
Hey.
Can you talk to me about your strategy in that turn now, the way it is? When do you dip? When do you not?
In three and four? Yeah. Or the one and two? I'm confused on what's one and two right now. That'll be three and four. Oh, the dog leg thing. What's that? Is that turn five? What do we call that one? What's that supposed to be? I'm still confused on how there's four turns around a racetrack. I see two. I see three here. Why is there only three at Pocono? Shouldn't there be six? I don't know. These are the things that go through my mind that I can't figure out. Maybe you guys can help me. Anyways, the dog leg thing, or turn five or three, whatever you want to call it. Yeah, I mean, I think it's something that's right now is played a lot, right, on restarts, and you can go three, four wide, and there's plenty of room for it, and I think that's cool. You know, and the fact that it's so abrupt when you go down there, there's no, like, smooth transition, and our cars are on the ground, right, so you don't just, the car doesn't absorb it with suspension, you hit the racetrack, it's an impact when you go down there, which isn't really doing any favors to your car, but there's times that you got to do that to, you know, make the room that you need to make a big move and to make a pass or something like that. So it's something that's played a lot during the race. I think it's a cool thing, a unique piece about Phoenix here. So I think that's great.
You think you'll do it more or less going forward?
I think the restarts will make it happen more, but it happens quite a bit now. I mean, every restart, there's somebody that goes way, way down there, and it goes out of – it's funny, as I'm watching the race, some drivers go, like, out of camera view. And it's like, where'd he go? And they come back up. It's pretty cool.
Wrap up here with Chris.
Chris Knight, catchvince.com. Just wondering how you were adjusting to fatherhood now that you're on the road every week.
Yeah, that's definitely different. It's hard. I feel bad for my wife, Brittany, because I leave her on the weekends right now because these West Coast races are just too far to bring them in. She's on her own toughing it out. And I try to tell her that I'm not sleeping so well here, and it's really hard. but she's doing great. She's a champ, I'll tell you that much. And I try to help as much as I can when I can when I'm at home. But I always feel bad when I leave. But it's been the biggest transition is just kind of, you know, figuring out your time and how to prioritize your life, because that's probably one of the biggest differences, right, is how can you spend as much time, especially right now, this West Coast swing. You guys know how it is. You're never home, and you want to spend as much time when you're at home, but you still got to work when you're at home. So it's just hard to try to figure out the time and when you can do certain things without, you know, cutting anything out. And so I think just trying to figure out my life from that standpoint away from the racetrack has been probably the biggest adjustment for me personally. But it's been the coolest adjustment of my life, I can tell you that much. It's so much fun to just see him and look at him and things he changes every day. And it's been entertaining, to say the least. He's starting to smile. Yeah, he's starting to smile a little bit and giggle a little bit, which is pretty cool. He never sits still, which I know where that came from. That's for sure. He never sits still, so I get in trouble for that because that's apparently my fault. So when he doesn't sit still and cries all day.
Well, we'll let you move on and continue your motion back to the garage. And thanks for taking the time to join us today.
All right, cool. Thanks, guys. Have a good one.